Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the bird flu epidemic when we come back. You know, when you make $50,000 a year, you pay about $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then, on top of that, you pay a 17% income tax on that $50,000, and that's another $8,500. Well, you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%, not the 15.3% that's advertised. Now, isn't that just real special? If you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. That number again, area code 417-273-4967. Tax and status, the school is available on compact disc for adult home education. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to the email and send an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of the bird flu, and I pointed out this bird flu now is not just news. Although it's been on every news broadcast on Fox and CNN and news headlines, and it's in the newspapers, it's on CBS and NBC and ABC, and as I pointed out, I said, this isn't news, this is propaganda. And I've never seen a propaganda blitz by government trying to sell people something. I don't know what the hell they're selling, but they're selling something. And I showed you how they did the very same thing, but not quite this vociferously when they sold the war in Iraq, you know, 3 years ago or so. They got out there and they said, my God, if this Saddam Hussein is allowed to stay in office or stay in power any longer, why, the whole world will end up dead. I mean, it was that bad. Now, we find out a couple of years later that, hell, he didn't have these weapons of mass destruction, and the president and Tony Blair had this thing scoped out before the war began. That war in Iraq was as phony and contrived as the Pearl Harbor attack. Now, they're doing the same thing with this bird flu over here, and I got a bunch of articles over here that are coming out of Reuters and MSNBC and CBS and ABC and Newsweek magazine. I mean, my God, every single major news media has this story of the bird flu. I'm going to show you that this bird flu over here is really a tempest in a teapot. Those of us that practice the Mosaic Law and use colloidal silver as a disinfectant, we're not being shot up. I'm not spending a nickel on vaccines or drugs or preventatives or anything else. Now, that's just me. No, I'm pretty old. I've never had the flu. I'm 67, never had the flu in my life. I haven't had a cold in 25 years. I put this program on every day, 7 days a week. You don't see me coming on here coughing, wheezing, and sneezing and telling you, gee, I can't put the program on because I'm sick. Now, that doesn't make me the smartest guy in the world, but I learned a couple of things. See, I've been around, you know, 3 or 4 years, and I learned a couple of things. I've been sick. I mean, I've had the flu, and I've had pneumonia, and I've been sick, a sick puppy from time to time, but I'm not concerned about the flu, and I don't think you need to be either, but you know, if you're real concerned about the flu and you need to get your vaccine out here, I've been giving you some facts and figures. I showed you in the last program, 28% of the people who get their flu vaccine might be helped. 72% doesn't do jack squat, never saved a person's life yet. So says the health people. I don't know, it wasn't the CDC, it was the National Institute of Health, NIS. I didn't say that, I'm just a reporter. I'm just reporting to you what they're telling us. And now they're telling us, not only hasn't it saved anybody, it doesn't help 72% of people, but you should go out and get your flu shot. I'm sitting here saying, you know, what kind of insanity is this? If it isn't going to help the majority of us, what do we need it for? And it doesn't help the majority. Now, the World Health Organization says that it's impossible to estimate the pandemic deaths. Now, they're talking about pandemic. This isn't just an epidemic that's occurring over here in the Finger Lakes region of New York or down in Los Angeles or maybe down around Miami or in Chicago. They're talking about pandemic. That means it's going to be in every country in the world. It's going to be worldwide. And they're talking about numbers. And they said, well, it could be 7.4 million or it could be 150 million. Well, you could pick almost any number, they said. And I said the last time, I said, what the hell kind of craziness is this? You can pick any number? Well, why don't you pick a number? And I went to Revelation 6 and I saw a statement in there in Revelation 6, verse 7, 8, and 9, along in there. It said, about one-fourth of men are going to be killed through war, famine, and death. I would assume that disease and plague will probably come in there somewhere along the line. Typically does. You know, when people are deprived of food in a famine, their immune system gets weak, and then they get susceptible to diseases, and they die from disease. Not very many people die from starvation. Most people die from a disease that kills them before the starvation can work its course. But anyway, the people that are in charge of the World Health Organization, Newsweek magazine, President Bush, congressmen and senators, I mean, these guys are getting real serious. There's another article in here. Congress has appropriated $4 billion, not million, not M, B for boy, billion, B, billion, $4 billion over this bird flu. I mean, these guys are getting real serious about this. They are selling us something, boys and girls. I think they're selling us a disease. I don't think I want to buy any, but that's what they're selling. Now, on Thursday, Dr. David Nabarro, the new UN coordinator for avian and human influenza, had warned that the range of deaths could be anywhere between 5 and 150 million from a new pandemic. One of those numbers will turn out to be right, Thompson told reporters. We're not going to know how lethal the next pandemic is going to be until the pandemic begins. Several scientists have made predictions on how many people could die in a flu pandemic. The estimates have ranged from less than 2 million to more than 100 million. The number of deaths will depend largely on how contagious and lethal the virus is, two factors that cannot be known until the pandemic strain emerges. However, even though several estimates could be plausible, WHO can't be dragged into, this is the World Health Organization, can't be dragged into further scaremongering, Thompson told reporters. I'm going to underline that, scaremongering. Yeah, I decided I didn't want somebody to scare the hell out of me, so I figured I'll solve this flu thing myself privately right here at home where it doesn't cost me any money, and I'll stay away from as many doctors and hospitals as I can. Now, this H5N1 strain of bird flu has swept through poultry populations in large swaths of Asia since 2003, jumping to humans and killing at least 65 people, more than 40 of them in Vietnam, resulting in the deaths of tens of millions of birds. Most human cases have been linked to contact with sick birds, but the World Health Organization has warned that the virus could mutate into a form that spreads easily among humans, possibly triggering a global pandemic that could kill millions. I'll pause here and make my editorial comment. Remember I told you last program there was this good doctor, and he went to Finland, and he got some dead bodies out of deep freeze. They exhumed them, and they brought that flu, you know, that killed about 50 million people back in 1918. It was called the Spanish flu. We'll take a little closer look at the Spanish flu, and I'll give you some more information about that in future programs. But I wanted to point out that he actually went over, dug up some bodies, found the strain of flu, and now has it alive and working, and they're reproducing it in the laboratory. Do you suppose that maybe somebody did that in 1965 in Bethesda, Maryland? Do you suppose that maybe somebody thunk that one up? My God, if it killed 50 million people back in 1918, if we unleashed it upon our enemies, the Russians or the Chinese, it might kill a bunch of them also. I mean, you talk about weapons of mass destruction. I showed you that the Spanish flu in 1918 killed more people than all the combatants, all the civilian, and all the military casualties in Europe combined. Well, that's pretty serious stuff, I'd say. Now, and that was when the flu only killed less than 1% of people that it infected. Now, half the people in the world got the flu. But only about 1% of them, or less than 1%, died. Now, that's the good news. This flu strain here, I mean, they've got a flu strain now. It just kind of reminds me of genetic engineering. I think somebody went out there and created this, don't you? You know, it just seems like a hell of a good idea, and somebody who is a mass murderer must have thought of this. I told you the last time, when I saw those airplanes flying into those buildings, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, I don't think that the normal human mind could think up something as evil as flying an airplane into a building directly and intentionally to kill not only all the people that are on the airplane, but to kill the people that are in the building. Now that I saw it, it kind of reminds me of the Bible. You know, when Adam and Eve were first created, they were kind of innocent. They did not know what evil was until they ate off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then after they ate off the tree, then they could imagine all these wicked and evil things to do. In fact, before the flood, God said, the reason I'm destroying these people is because they are wicked and evil, and their minds think about this wickedness and evil continually. That's what I'm thinking here. It never entered my mind that somebody would go dig up one of those bodies from World War I, hoping that this flu virus had survived for 85 or 90 years in deep freeze in Finland, and then synthesize it, bring it back, and reproduce it in the laboratory. But, yep, that's what they've done. And they're telling us, well, you know, we can use that to develop a vaccine to help mankind. Now, since when have these mad scientists come along here with an invention to help mankind? You're telling me that atomic and hydrogen bombs are over here for the benefit of mankind? I mean, you know, there's life going on out here, and from the time we invented the bow and arrow, we've used it to kill people. First thing we did with the airplane, the army came along and said, my God, what a neat weapon this is going to make. Yeah, I know, airplanes are neat inventions, and they haul people from here to there. Now take a look at all those airplanes that kill people with smart bombs. I don't think that there's anything that we've invented yet that we haven't turned to some kind of an evil purpose. And this guy digging up dead bodies to bring back the Spanish flu virus, I would guess. And they say that Spanish flu, they told us that was an avian bird virus. And this flu that they're telling us about now is an avian bird virus. This virus is much more virulent than the 1918 strain. The 1918 strain, it only killed, you know, less than 1%. This one kills 54%. Boy, what an improvement. I mean, if it was developed by the germ warfare people, they should get an A-plus for their work. They should get an extra bonus for coming up with a weapon like this. I pointed out, if Osama bin Laden had this, do you think he'd use it against us? Well, that's the story on that avian flu virus. Now, listen to this. The African nations are taking this flu precaution pretty seriously. Now, remember, down there in Africa, they've got about, I don't know, something like about a third of the people in Africa now, or at least in sub-Saharan Africa, have AIDS. In some countries, I say a third, that's a little high. In one country, Botswana land, they've got 37% infected. South Africa, 25%. Not every country is infected to that level, but, you know, there's a bunch. I'll bet you that 10% of the people of Africa as a whole are infected with HIV. What do you think is going to happen when those people get the flu? See, their immune system's already impaired. They're already sickies. And now you come along and you give them this flu over here, which kills 54% of people that get it. That ought to just about wipe out. You know, we talk about a bunch of people getting killed. Now, that ought to just about do Africa in, don't you think? Well, over in Senegal, Senegal has taken a precautionary measure of halting poultry imports to prevent the spread of bird flu to the West African country. It is the latest African country to take such a step. Congo, Republic, Sudan, Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia have all done it. We've banned all imports of poultry as a precautionary measure, Saul said on state television late on Thursday. All right, so they're not letting any poultry into these countries. Now, hoping to prevent the spread to Africa, this deadly strain of avian flu has killed more than 60 people and caused the death and destruction of millions of birds in Asia. It's arrived in Europe, and experts have warned Africa will be next. The arrival of bird flu in Turkey and Romania suggests it's being carried by migratory birds, some of which pass through East Africa, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says. Now, I want to point out, boys and girls, that the ducks that live here in Arkansas fly up through Missouri, head east, and end up over in Scotland. All right, you've already got this bird flu in Europe. It's just a short hop, you know, from France and Romania and those countries. It'll be all over in Russia to Scotland and then over here to the United States. And we'll have it right here. Okay, now when it gets here, it's going to mutate. If it doesn't mutate naturally, do you suppose that maybe our government or Osama bin Laden or some other mad scientist out there who already has this flu virus and already has the mutant variety in the human form that they have been experimenting on is going to unleash it upon us? Do you suppose that's why they're telling us this? I mean, think about it. These are the same people now, these elitists, who tell us that they need to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. And I say, well, that's wonderful. I think the world's population should be reduced by 90%. Let's start with all the elitists and kill them first. No, no. They're the brains behind this. They need to kill all of us first, and they'll go last. Now, I reported on that to you. That's called the Global 2000 series. And I gave you a pretty good size article there. Dr. Stanley Monteith and the Georgia Guidestones and the Club of Rome and a whole host and plethora of lesser policy-making think tanks. It isn't just the Club of Rome. I mean, there's a bunch of Hudson Institutes in on it. And these guys are going to reduce the Earth's population, and their scientists say what we need is a virus. Boy, that picked right up. When I saw these articles on bird flu, I said, yeah, that's right. You need a virus. You need a virus that's more virulent than the 1918 flu virus, which caused so much havoc back at the end of World War II. In fact, that Spanish flu is what caused the end of World War II. Both sides got it. They just wore them out. They didn't have any more oomph left. And so they said, well, let's quit fighting. Now, the Africans down there are on the migratory route, so it's just a matter of time until it gets there. And they tell us now it's just a matter of time until it mutates into the human form. Well, we don't know how virulent it's going to become when it gets into this virulent form. And so they're speculating. They're saying, well, it could be real bad or it could be moderately bad or, you know, we can't tell. Now, this 1918 flu, I remember as a kid, old Russell Harvey. Now, I'm 15 years old. It's 1955. Old man Harvey lived through the flu in 1918, 1920. So in 1955, he was looking back 35 years. So today, you know, I'm an old man, as old as old man Harvey was. And I look back 35 years. Now, 35 years, boys and girls, isn't all that long ago. You know, just 1970. you know, I had a daughter born in 1972. I had one born in 1970. I had a boy born in 1968. So 68, 70, 72, you know, I was 30 years old. 32. So it wasn't all that long ago, and I can remember 1970 like it was last week. I remember the employees that I had and the wages that I paid and the number of trucks that I had and my business office and my telephone number, you know, from my business. I mean, I can remember that. So 35 years ago wasn't all that long ago. And old man Harvey was looking back 35 years and telling me about the flu of 1920. And here was this old guy, and here I'm 15 years old, and he's telling me the story about how all these people were sick in Eureka, California, and people were dying constantly. People that he knew, and he named a bunch of family members that he had, you know, that, and he was caring for his wife, and then he came down with the flu, and she cared for him. And it didn't last for 3 days, it lasted for 3 weeks. Can you imagine that? I mean, these people have diarrhea. They're puking their guts out. They're just sick as dogs. Nobody can work. It's highly contagious. The people that are taking care of the people who get the flu or have the flu are going to get the flu. They're hacking and coughing and sneezing and wheezing. I mean, that's what you're up against. And now, it looks like this flu now is going to be spread around the world. Just like it was in 1918, spread around the world. Only it's got vectors now through modern transportation, airplanes. I mean, you can spread that flu worldwide in a week or two. We're not talking about months. From 1918, 19, and 20, it took about 3 years for that flu to run its course. It won't take 3 years this time, doesn't look like. So the Africans are on it. Well, listen to this. Our Senate, show you how serious the government is on this. I mean, these guys are start spend money. The Senate voted Thursday to provide $4 billion to the Center for Disease Control, CDC, and prevention to stockpile anti-flu medicine to protect people against bird flu and to prepare for a potential outbreak. By voice vote, senators agreed to tack the proposal onto next year's $440 billion defense spending bill. The Senate still must approve the overall defense bill, and a vote is expected next week. Then the Senate must work out a final version with the House, which did not include money for the bird flu preparedness in its defense bill. In recent weeks, the United States has stepped up preparations in case the virus, which has already killed or led to the slaughter of millions of birds in Asia and Europe, sparks an influenza pandemic. The virus has killed 60 people so far, largely because it's not been known to spread easily from person to person. If that changes, the flu virus mutates regularly. Global health officials warn it could trigger a deadly worldwide outbreak that could kill millions of people. Now, it hasn't got into the human population. It isn't being spread from person to person. They keep telling us that. But they tell us that it's going to mutate and that it's going to happen. How do they know that? I mean, unless they've already got a vial full of this stuff and they already know. This is what the story came down from John Coleman. He said that AIDS was a weapon of mass destruction which was created in Sierra Leone by MI6, British intelligence. Then it was taken to Fort Detrick, Maryland and shared with the Americans. And then it was turned loose on Africans because the intent is to destroy all the black population on planet Earth. Now, I covered most of that here, you know, on that series of programs that I did on Global 2000. And then take a look at those programs and listen up and pay attention and see whether or not that fits in with this program here. I can't think of a better invention than this bird flu. And they're telling us about it in advance. They're propagandizing us. They're getting us ready for it. When this thing happens, keeping in mind that the objective is to get you to agree to Global 2000 and to meld the United States of America into this new one world government. When there are so many people sick, people dying by the millions worldwide, and the government comes along and subtly suggests to you that we follow this course of action or that course of action, you will get in line You will clamor. You will demand that the government do something to save you, to protect you. I saw Bush the other day. He was on the air, and he says, "Hey, I'm doing what the American people sent me to Washington to do, and that's to protect Americans from terrorists." Well, I never sent that sucker to Washington to protect me from terrorists. And Mr. Bush, don't you spend a dollar of taxpayers' money to save or to protect George Gordon from any terrorists. Those terrorists out there aren't my problem. George Bush is my problem. The Patriot Act is my problem. It's the United States government that's my problem. I don't have a problem with any terrorists out there. They're not threatening me. But you know, you gotta have a boogeyman. So, in World War II, the boogeyman was the Nazis and the Germans. And the government got us into spending programs that just gave control of our spending to the government. And then after the war, they needed a new boogeyman, so they came up with the Iron Curtain and the Cold War. Communism is the boogeyman. After 1989, why not just demilitarize, shut NATO down, and close the doors, and let's go back to living our lives? No, we had to have a new boogeyman, and the new boogeyman today is terrorists and terrorism. Synthesis, antisynthesis, that's what that boils down to. Now, the Senate over here is going to put up $4 billion to stockpile these medicines over here. Well, now, when you people are sick, the government's going to say to you, "Well, I've got medicine. You want to live? Well, you come on over here. Give us your social security number and you do A, B, C, and D. You do what we tell you to do and we're going to give you this medicine. You do what we tell you to do and we'll protect you from these terrorists." Now, that's idolatry, prohibited by the First Commandment. And I say that there's a better way to deal with the flu. Not that this flu isn't something to be real concerned about, because if this is some kind of a virulent strain that has been created as a germ warfare weapon, which I strongly suspect. But then, you know, I get emails here all the time, and somebody's going to say, "Hey, Mr. Gordon, do you think that that's a germ warfare thingy, you know, that was developed? What the hell difference does it make to you and me? What difference does it make if this flu was contrived by mad scientists in Fort Detrick, Maryland, or it's a plague sent by God Almighty? Doesn't it kill people just the same?" It's almost like, well, if it comes from God, it's okay, but if it comes from the government, it's bad. Don't you think dying is kind of bad? Don't you think getting real sick and diseased is kind of bad for you, no matter where it comes from? Yeah, we're being propagandized here, boys and girls, and I'm not exactly sure why, not exactly sure how this is going to unfold, but it's surely going to unfold to some degree as the days wear on. These guys aren't doing this for no good purpose. You know, they didn't propagandize us about that Iraq war for no good purpose. They had in mind they're going to go to war. At the time, we were wondering, well, gee, can they avoid war? The president says, "We're doing everything we can to avoid war. You know, we're just doing everything we can. We're talking to the United Nations, and we're trying to get Saddam Hussein to do this, that, and another thing." That was all BS, and you know it as well as I do today. But at the time, it sounded pretty good, didn't it? Sounded good to me. Now, the fact file comparing this bird flu to the common flu, the H5N1 bird flu virus has infected 117 people in Asia, killed 60 in the last 2 years. And here are some facts about bird flu and how it differs from common human flu. All right. Symptoms. The persistent fever, cough, sore throat, muscle aches, shortness of breath, and acute respiratory distress. Patients can develop viral pneumonia, multiple organ failures, and especially in the lungs and kidneys, and other severe and life-threatening complications in a matter of days. So far, the virus is transmitted through direct contact with infected birds. Common flu, you just get fever, cough, runny nose, and muscle pain. All right, the mortality rate. Bird flu, 50%. 117 have become infected with H5N1. Over 60, mostly young people, have died. So it's not old folks that are dying. It's mostly young people. And you know, this is another corollary. That Spanish flu from 1918, it didn't affect the very young, didn't affect the very old. It affected those in the middle. Soldiers in the army is where it got started. It got started over here in Kansas. I think it was Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And it spread throughout the military first. And it was suspected that it got started with the flu vaccine. They vaccinated those soldiers. And that vaccine now weakened your immune system. And they vaccinated them against flu. And they probably gave them the Spanish flu. And then it spread through our soldiers to the French and the British soldiers on our side. And then from our guys that got captured, it spread to the Germans and the Axis powers on the other side. That was in 1917. And then by 1918, everybody on both sides had it. The thing was going around the world worldwide. It wasn't until 1920 that it finally died out. It runs its course and then it dies out. Now, not everybody gets it, but everybody gets exposed to it. Do you suppose maybe if you had an immune system that was strong enough and you were exposed to it, it wouldn't affect you? Do you suppose maybe if you use colloidal silver, which is the natural antibiotic or antiviral drug? And by the way, you know, it used to be in the world that we drank out of silver cups, that we wore silver bracelets and necklaces, and we ate off of silver utensils. And people don't do that anymore. We've divorced ourselves from silver. Silver is an antiviral. I want to point that out. You should be wearing a silver bracelet. You ladies should be wearing silver jewelry, just as common, everyday, ordinary garden variety wear. And you men, you ought to have a silver ring on. You ought to have a silver bracelet on. Because that silver absorbs through your skin into your body. It builds your immune system against these kinds of viruses. Now, you know, people have been using that for thousands of years. It's pretty common knowledge. It's been around forever. Now, there's another way that you can use silver. You can use colloidal silver by actually making it and drinking it. It's another little story for me to tell you as we progress along. Hang on, I got to give you a couple of reminders and we'll be back and we'll take a look at the distinctions between this H5N1 bird flu and common flu when we come back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the internet. For more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the internet. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, health, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And finally, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, these distinctions between these two flus, one bird flu, pretty heavy-duty stuff, covered the mortality rate. Let me just cover this one again. You got 117.60 have died, divided by 117, 51.2 0.28%. So 50% mortality. I saw a number the other day that said 54%. 54%. Kills up to 2% of people that it infects. With elderly, this is common flu, ordinary flu. Kills 2% of people that it infects. With elderly, young children and people in developing countries more at risk. Mortality rates in developed countries are much lower, but in an average year, influenza still kills between 500,000 and a million people globally. So around the world, flu, ordinary everyday garden variety flu, kills up to a million people a year. Now the treatment, the prescription antivirals, Tamiflu and the lesser Relenza, are the only medications that are effective against avian flu. The drugs can prevent infection up to 80% and can treat patients who have had symptoms for 2 days or less. However, flu viruses can become resistant to these drugs, so these medications may not always work. So number one, these medications don't always work. Silver does. And they say here that they're the only drugs that are effective against flu, this avian flu. That's probably true. As far as I know, silver is not a drug, but it's an antiviral. It kills virus on contact. And it's one thing that you can take into your body that's harmless. It's one of those neat little inventions that are made by God that's harmless. You know, like an apple. You eat an apple, the apple peeling, which is the skin that keeps the apple together. Hell, you can eat it. And it's totally biodegradable. Whenever God makes something, he makes it biodegradable. It isn't toxic. I mean, you could eat an orange peel if you wanted to, and it won't kill you. But, you know, every time that man makes something, it's very toxic stuff. In fact, man makes this kind of thing, like this flu and these HIVs and these diseases with the malign intent of harming people. You ever notice that? This Monsanto, you know, the people that make these genetically modified seeds, they have a motive. It's profit. And they don't really care what kind of damage they do in the pursuit of that profit. Now, this common flu, some vaccines are available to prevent infection. Prescription antivirals, Tamiflu and Relenza, are approved to treat type A and B influenza, the two types most responsible for flu epidemics. In order to lessen severity of the infection, patients needed to start treatment within 2 days of the onset of the symptoms. With silver, you can start anytime. In fact, if you were to use silver, and I'll tell you more about that as we progress along, if you were to use silver, you probably wouldn't get the flu. Probably. I've been using it for years. I haven't got it. My wife's been using it for years. She hasn't got it. And the people that I deal with and that I know that use silver, they haven't gotten the flu. They're not sickies. Now listen, there's a story came out in Newsweek this week. Newsweek magazine for the week of. Let me see the number on here. Come on, Newsweek. October 31st, 2005. This is the Newsweek article. Let me read some excerpts out of here. These Newsweek people are pretty serious about this also. One parrot imported from South America and held in quarantine in Britain along with a shipment of birds from Taiwan. All right. Now, if this parrot was imported from South America and it has the Asian, or it has this bird flu, I won't call it Asian flu, then that ought to tell you that this bird flu is already in South America, isn't it? So evidently some migratory birds have flown over to South America. There it is. I mean, what are you going to do about these ducks that are flying around the world? I mean, they're going to spread this avian flu everywhere they go. And a lot of these wild birds are going to die from this avian flu, but it isn't going to kill them all, but they're going to transmit it. And if you've got chickens, you know, if you've got a chicken farm out here in Maryland, and then a duck lands out here in a pond, and a chicken goes out and drinks out of the pond, the feces from the duck maybe is on the land, and the chicken eats the feces of the duck. And then he goes back into the chicken house and he gets, or that's tracked in on a worker's shoes or whatever. There it is. That's the way this stuff is spread. I mean, you're not going to keep that out of the chickens. It's coming here. If it's in Turkey, if it's in China, if it's in other countries around the world, and you can see it here. Now, the British are sitting there saying, ah, but it's in quarantine, so we haven't been infected yet. Like they've reached some great milestone. Well, sit back and relax, you people in England. It's coming just like it is here. Now, just because there's disease around the world doesn't mean that you have to hit the panic switch. It means that you need to take some kind of precautionary measures. Now, what do you want to do? You want to rely upon medical science, vaccines, which by their own admission doesn't save anybody. But you ought to spend your money and boost the economy. That's the only conclusion that I can come to. All right, now one swan in the Romanian village of C.A. Rossetti near the border with Ukraine, and one man, Bang Orn Benped, 48, a sometime driver and gardener in the Thai province of Kanchanaburra, who had helped himself on a couple of occasions to chickens from a neighbor's flock. The flock had been dying off, and the chickens that he took were close to death anyway. Days after he killed, plucked, grilled, and ate the birds, he developed a cough and a fever, and then visited a local clinic where they took an x-ray of his lungs and suggested that he check himself into a hospital. Instead, he went home. But last Monday, his condition worsened, and a new x-ray showed a rapid deterioration in his lungs. By Wednesday, he was dead. D-E-D, dead. Now, in ordinary times, these deaths last week would have gone unnoticed by the world at large, but this is not an ordinary time. The world's on edge, stalked by a virus that travels the great migratory flyways and kills where it lands. After incubating for 8 years in East Asia, where it was responsible for the death of 140 million birds, including those intentionally destroyed to stop its spread, and 68 people, this thing called the H5N1 variant of avian flu suddenly and mysteriously expanded its range this year north to Mongolia and Siberia, then west into the Ukraine, Croatia, and Turkey through innumerable generations and hundreds of mutations. It has maintained its extraordinary lethality without yet evolving the ability to be transmitted directly between humans. Although all cases have involved people who came into close contact with chicken blood or chicken droppings, when and if that changes, it could be the trigger for a global pandemic that, in a worst-case extrapolation, from the toll of the 1918 Spanish flu could kill 150 million people, 2.5% of the world's population, in a matter of months. Now, epidemiologist Michael Osterholm of the University of Minnesota calls that scenario the single greatest risk to our world today. Governments, indeed civilizations, have collapsed from far less trauma. Even if you survive, Osterholm asks, what happens to you when the global economy shuts down? Thus, the fate of the world hangs in the balance between this invisible force of mutation and natural selection and the preparations being undertaken by governments around the world with far more visible problems close at hand. All over the world, people were asking two things. Is the government doing everything that it can? And what can I do to protect my family? And the answers were, not yet, and only so much. Now, there have been many who foresaw this and urged the country to begin preparations sooner. Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt said last week in a remarkably frank interview with Newsweek that it would have been better if we'd done so. Now, let me pause right here and make my famous Gordon editorial comment. If the government deals with this flu epidemic the way they dealt with Katrina and Rita, those two hurricanes, what do you think the results are going to be? There isn't anything that government cannot do half as well for twice as much money. Donald Trump made the observation for you people around the world. Donald Trump is a famous rich man. He's a multimillionaire businessman in New York City. He said that if the government does the rebuilding in New Orleans, it'll cost five times as much as it will cost or would cost if it was just done by private individuals. Now, the people immediately, when there's a trauma around, they cry out for the government to do something. Well, government is God. They're crying out, for God's sake, do something. They're not talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or Allah, or Buddha, or Confucius, or some other God. I mean, they're calling out on their God, the United States, or Louisiana, or Mississippi, or Texas, or somebody, to do something. And that's what you see here. Governments, Congress, presidents, secretaries are out here doing something. And I want to add in that if the government gets involved in this disease, they'll make it 10 times worse. That's the conclusion or the outcome of the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu was caused by government in 1917 in the United States by vaccinating soldiers with that flu vaccine. They gave the soldiers the flu and they spread it all over the world. I suspect that that's precisely what this story is all about. I suspect that the government has created this flu and that they are going to spread it all over the world. They're going to come out and they're going to say, boys and girls, what you need is a shot to protect you from this flu. You people are going to line up. You're going to demand that the government do something. You're going to demand that the government provide you with this vaccine. And they will. Yeah, they're going to take real good care of you. That's why I said early on, I said, I think I'll stay away from these guys. I call them mad scientists, politicians, and preachers. Preachers, politicians, and mad scientists. I mean, these guys are the people who dream up, who think about the kind of evil that an ordinary, everyday, garden variety human being could not imagine. I mean, you've got to be wicked. You've got to be so damn evil to even think of this kind of thing. That's why I'm saying, you know, this is not a news report. This is a propaganda blitz. A report, boys and girls, is where on the news they say five Americans were killed by roadside bombs today in Iraq. That's a report. When you start telling people, every day from now on, five Americans are going to be killed by roadside bombs in Iraq, what does that lead you to believe? Well, who's going to cause it? Who's going to bring it to pass? How do you know that's going to happen? Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But these guys are telling us that this bird flu is going to happen tomorrow. They're not telling you if, they're telling you when. And they're telling you that right here in print, in this very article. This is the October 31st, 2005 issue of Newsweek. The article is well worth the price of the magazine, so let me promote a little Newsweek for you. There's flu every year, of course. Flu typically kills about 36,000 Americans, mostly the elderly, but for that very reason, most people have been exposed to it and have acquired at least partial immunity to the common varieties, which typically are hybrids of human and animal viruses. But this H5N1, like the 1918 virus, which has just been reconstructed by researchers, underline that, boys and girls, it has just been reconstructed by researchers. My God, who in his right mind would want to reconstruct something that killed 50 million people? My God, I can remember when in 1937 they had a TB epidemic in the cattle in Eel River Valley. So they went through and every herd, that had TB or had been exposed to TB. They took them out and they killed them, and then they burned them, and then they put them into trenches, and then they put quicklime over them, and then they buried them. You just saw this happen with blackleg over in, was it blackleg? I think it was, over in England. Remember when that outbreak occurred here about 5 years ago? And these guys went out and dug up some bodies that had been buried since 1918 that had died from this flu. And let me read it to you again. The human and animal viruses, but H5N1, like the 1918 virus, which has just been reconstructed by researchers, crossed the species barrier from chickens almost intact. Almost no one on Earth has any immunity at all, and ordinary vaccines are useless against it. It is moreover devastatingly lethal, for reasons not fully understood, killing nearly half the people known to have contracted it, although some researchers think mild cases might have gone unreported, making the mortality rate seem higher. And also, like the 1918 variety, H5N1 has the ability to kill directly. Most ordinary flu viruses destroy the cells that line the upper respiratory tract, the body's first line of defense against airborne germs. The patient usually dies of bacterial pneumonia. That's why the elderly and the immune compromised are particularly at risk. But Spanish flu attacked deep within the lung, destroying tissue and also provoking a furious immune response that literally drowns the lungs in hemorrhage. If H5N1 follows the same pattern as it appears to do, it would kill quickly and take a disproportionate number of healthy young adults. God, that sounds just like that 1918 flu. You know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like that somebody reconstructed that and turned it loose, hung a new label on it. Instead of calling it Spanish flu, they call it H5N1, avian flu. Both of them are the same. Oh. Yeah, I could see how they could predict it now. If you've got it over here in the arsenal, yeah, you could predict it. Now, I want to point out, I did a series here a few weeks back on this thing of Global 2000. You remember that story? Global 2000. Let me flip through my file here. Let me see if I got a date for that. Do you speak credit, vaccination, inflation? Let me see if I got Global 2000. Gee, maybe I didn't write it down. Here's the vaccination series. It started on 10-16 through 10-22-05. So that was just a couple of weeks back. But I did a story here on Global 2000, what did I say? Famine Coming to America. That was the title of it. Famine Coming to America. And I did that on September the 12th through the September the 18th. September 17th. I got that wrong. Famine Coming to America, September 11th through September the 17th. It's called Famine Coming to America. Take those two series and put it together with this one and see if it doesn't tell you the same story that my computer is telling me. Hey, these suckers already have this virus. They're all ready to cut it loose. And when they do, hey, listen, don't blame Bush. Don't blame the government. Hey, we warned you. We did everything we could. No one knows why the virus suddenly spread into Europe this year or what it portends throughout, although epidemiologists consider it an ominous development. Something has happened to the relationship between the virus and wild birds that hadn't happened before, Osterholm revealed. Nevertheless, the only immediately obvious threat was to Europe's waterfowl and poultry farms. The likely ground zero for a pandemic is still the vast natural expanses of the teeming urban markets of China and Southeast Asia. But the virus is now squarely in the path of birds migrating to Africa, where people also live in close proximity to animals, and public health facilities are often primitive, and millions are already infected with HIV, which raises the risk of serious complications. And, of course, medicine has made great strides since 1918. On the other hand, in those years, it took weeks, not hours, to travel from Hong Kong to New York. Dr. Margaret Chan, head of pandemic flu preparedness for the World Health Organization, notes that in history, no human intervention has managed to stop a pandemic. So they've never been able to stop one in the past. What makes us think, excuse me, let's see if I can talk a little better now, what makes us think that they're going to stop this one, especially if it's being, if it's being created by the scientists here. Mull that one over for a minute. Created here. To be used against us. I know it's a wild new thought, but after all, that's what fits in with Global 2000. That's what fits in with Dr. Stanley Monteith's article on the Georgia Guidestones. And the politicians and the preachers and the scientists and the Club of Rome and the CFR and the Bilderbergers and Trilateralists who have been waiting for, who have been preaching, who have been teaching, who have been praying for a reduction in the world's population by 90%. Now, it's just my report that I got from those institutions and then reported to you in that series of programs on famine coming to America. Remember, this is the October 31st. I'll get it right. The October 31st issue of Newsweek magazine. He says, take the surveillance, the ability to detect an outbreak of the source. Right now, the world surveillance is not adequate to protect us. Levitt, he's the head of Health and Human Services, said last week at the end of a trip to seven Asian countries. We have to work with countries all over the world and instill a sense that if it happens anywhere, it's a risk everywhere. But as he acknowledged, that's a hard case to make in countries where the annual income might be $600. The family's entire wealth is tied up in livestock. At a briefing last Friday, he described visiting a family in Vietnam whose flock was ordered destroyed when it showed signs of avian flu, so they frugally slaughtered and ate the birds that didn't seem sick. Within a week, every member of the family fell sick or fell ill. They didn't all die, but they all got sick. So to answer the question, when it's in the flesh of the birds, It has spread to the people that ate it. So tuck that one away in your heart. Hey, we're about out of time. I'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same station, with more on this thing called the avian flu, the pandemic that is being predicted, next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. All right, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. All right, we're out of time. We'll have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.